Hi, welcome to Lawyer versus Lawyer. I'm Debbie Champion. I'm here with Gary Berger, and we're excited to talk to you today. Gary, you got any good ideas about what you want to talk about?
Debbie, it's great to see you again. Debbie, I thought we'd talk a little bit about what are tips for lawyers and techniques for lawyers to litigate by Zoom. And by that I mean or in a pandemic. How do you take depos differently by Zoom than would you would otherwise? How do you mediate cases differently by Zoom than you would do live? And any other ways that are practice tips for lawyers about how to do stuff in this Zoom virtual, socially distanced, whatever you want to call it, era than otherwise.
I think that sounds fun. Let's do talk.
You tell me what comes to your mind first about this, about how we're practicing law.
Well, I would talk first about what people, those habits of people in Zoom and what they sometimes do that make you laugh. You have these Zoom personalities. And so we have to try to figure out what our Zoom personality is and stop doing the things that are distracting. Because when you're talking to somebody on Zoom, and I do it all the time, like this, for example, is one of the things I do all the time. I'm always drinking something. So that'd be called, that's the drinker. And another person doing this, they're like laying down. That's the sleeper. I had a hearing. I've had these hearings, and we had three commissioners on a federal board, and the woman had this long hair, really curly, wild hair, and she put her head down, and all you could see was this bush of hair. Was hysterical. And then when it wasn't that, it was the cat that would come up and look at us like this, and the Zoom camera was really funny. So those sorts of things, I mean, that is just basics. But the basics that I've learned is that we all have a Zoom personality.
So the Zoom, that's so I had a we produced a client for a deposition who, in his video recorded Zoom deposition, opened a beer and started drinking a beer.
Shut up. Oh.
And then I had another lawyer person in my office who's no longer with us, but I swear to God, for the first 3 months, every time I had a Zoom meeting with him, all I saw was his ceiling fan. I never saw his face. And
That's what I want too.
it was like from a yeah, it's like it's like from a it's from a Saturday Night Live card. And it's not once or twice, that's fine. But after months, I'm like, and I've told him about it. Stop it. Let me see your face. Otherwise, let's just have a phone call. What's the point? So it's the people that it's totally disconnected to.
So you have to think about what you're doing that other people are seeing. That's my best advice.
Let me share with you a couple of my tips
Give
that
me
I
yours.
do.
I know you've been thinking about this a lot.
Because I've mediated probably 15 cases in by Zoom. I've done tons of depositions by Zoom now too. I know you have. I'm on the plaintiff side. So one of the things I do is when I have my depo prep with my client, I have it on Zoom, not over the phone. So that way they're using Zoom for the first time. And my depo prep yesterday, the first 15 minutes was my client get, I don't want to say what cases, it was figuring out their Zoom. It was frustrating to me, but the depo's on Monday. And so people have connectivity. Do they have Wi-Fi? What device are they going to use? Is their audio work? Are they going to have headphones? Are their kids going to be there? So you gotta run the traps of you don't want the first time they're using Zoom because they're already task loading with being nervous about the depo. You need them to figure out the tech side and before that. All right. Then the other thing. So that's one of my tips is get it ready before. So I prep over Zoom, and then I talk to them about their Zoom personality. Like, hey, listen, you're not looking at me, or you're looking away, or you can't have notes. I can see you're reading notes right in front of you. You can't do that in a deposition, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one of the things I do. Have you had connectivity problems and that kind of stuff?
It seems like it's getting less and less. So I think people are starting to learn what they have to do. My favorite Zoom thing that happens is this, and I'm guilty of it. Look, Gary.
Yeah, I see your fingers.
That always cracks me up. It just, it's so distracting. I do it all the time if I don't care, but.
You know what I did? And I don't know if I can show you. So there's a camera. All right, here, technology. Here's the deal. I have the same camera at the bottom of my laptop. And if I type, it'll show my fingers. However, I bought a separate Logitech camera that I plug into my laptop that I put on the top that makes the camera a lot better. So
that's fantastic advice, because it's hard. Like for me, I've got my thing listed here like 3 inches, and I'm still having to look down to look.
I know. And you're not looking. So buy a new camera, spend $100, $200. You're doing this all the time, invest in it. I have two of them now, one at home, one in my office, where I do that. So I do that here. All right. Now you ready for my second tip, Debbie?
Yeah.
Now this
yeah.
is, we're recording a podcast, so it's going to be a little bit different. So yeah. Am I in my office?
Well, I know the answer. So I'll say no. Yes, it looks like you're in your
office. Doesn't
own.
It look like it? I'm not.
Absolutely.
So the other best thing that I did is, and I took this from a mediator friend of mine that you know, but so this is where I really am. I'm in my kids. You see the, look, there's the stuff. There's the giraffe and all this
so
stuff.
Cute.
But when I take off, so I have a virtual background of me sitting in my office. So I can look like I'm in my office at any time. Or I can also do my Game of Thrones, Iron Throne background. So there you go.
Love that.
All right.
That
so get a background if you're going to work from home and you don't want to. So one of my other tips is, for mediations, I have a more systemic way to get a mediation. So, I have a specific task for my people about 2 weeks before you're doing the mediation letter. We send the mediation letter to the other side. We're giving them all the documents. I think that I am constantly reminded about that communication is tough. So communication is tougher in these pandemic times. So trying to communicate with the other side, you think they have the documents, they don't have the documents. You think they have those medical records, they don't have them. You think this or that. I was in a depot literally yesterday where they're marking all this stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? They got to show me. So in mediations, I am sharing medical, whatever you want the other side to see. They need, from a plaintiff's side, the defendant's adjuster has to see it and digest it. The defendant's adjuster has to take it to a committee, has to do this other stuff. You can't surprise people with information in mediation, expect them to pay you more money for it. So you need to plan, you need to make yourself take the time ahead of time, get the other side everything they need in a mediation.
I was just going to say, you're saying get them the physical documents a week or so before mediation, not share it at the depot. I mean, at the mediation on the Zoom screen.
Yeah. And like I mediated a case this week where I shared my expert report. I didn't have to. There's no expert deadline, but the case wasn't going to settle. I paid for it. I did it. It was a great report. Give it to them. So yeah, right. Share documents, pictures, accident reconstruction, voc rehab report, life care plan, whatever it is. If you want, and it's even more important by Zoom and stuff, if you want the other side to see something and take it into account, and the same thing for the defendant. I mean, I know your trick, Debbie, is to hide everything and just cross-examine people at trial, right?
No, not my trick.
Well, one of your effective techniques. But if you want, for instance, if you want, Debbie, if you want to settle a case, you show the surveillance of the guy carrying his deer out of the woods rather than wait until trial, right?
Right. You know, I think, Gary, you're just from my perspective, I think your idea of giving everything all at once in a packet so that it can go to the adjuster is a couple of weeks beforehand is very, very good. First of all, they need that couple of weeks to get authority on the case. And the second point is, I may have sent them everything you sent them before, but it would be piecemeal. Here's a piece of this. Here's this. This just came in. Here's this. This just came in. And so they may have it in their file, but they don't have it in their mind. And so when you're sending them all that information to help them evaluate it, in a perfect world, I've done that too, or I'm doing it too, but it doesn't always happen. And so it's very smart to get them that information so they can get authority to try to evaluate that case.
Right. And that lesson translates to everything. I literally 2 days ago with my staff, I had someone saying, well, I already sent them this medical note. I'm like, listen, claims adjusters are people. They can't I can't find emails. They can't find that record. It doesn't matter that you sent it to them twice. Pick up the phone, call the adjuster, email the adjuster, email the other side. Listen, do you have everything? I'm not going to sit and try to win a stupid argument about I sent it to you before. Look on May 4th right. at 2:42. Right. Who cares? Right. Send it to right. them again. People miss stuff. Let's not.
Especially during COVID.
That's my, yeah, I find,
especially.
I find people are missing stuff more and more because we don't sit around and talk or reaffirm and stuff. So resend stuff to people. Don't be, I had a case, one of my paralegals said, I've sent them to all this stuff, blah, blah, and it was a local claims office. And I said, here's what you're going to do. Burn it to a disk, drive over there, drop it off, say, hey, great to see you. Put a mask on. Here's everything in a nutshell. Because, you know, what lawyers do, one of the things lawyers do is we get around the roadblocks that are thrown up in our cases, and we do it legally. The roadblock that Corona and the pandemic presents is a roadblock of communication. So we need to change our ways about communicating with our clients and with the other side. Have you found that to be true?
I do. I think it's true all the time. I think it's worse during Corona. I tell you, one of the reasons it's worse during coronavirus for me is how incredibly busy we are during Corona. I mean, I can't return calls during the day because I'm booked from 8 to 5 and people are gone home. So I have to return calls at night or answer emails at night. And so, yes, the communication is terrible, terrible.
I have the same thing. I'm working more. I've worked harder. I'm working at night all the time. I was up early this morning editing a brief because I didn't get to it. Let me tell you some other tricks. I have now a Google Doc between each of my teams has to have a Google Doc where they write down the stuff they're doing so that they see it. So everybody can look at. So I have a Google Doc where it says calls that Gary's supposed to make. Things that I gave Casey, cases that I need to settle. So it's in front of us, a working document we can all access, which takes the place of us sticking our head in each other's office and saying, did you answer discovery in that case? Did you ever get this medical? Are you ready for this deposition? So that office communication doesn't happen anymore. We need to recreate ways for us to just touch all these files and touch all these millions of things we're handling.
So in our podcast, our goal is to reach new lawyers, but a lot of older lawyers listen to this. So I want you to explain that a little slower to people. So you've got, you're on Google Share or Google Docs, and you share a one working document between your
one work. I use Google for my email and my stuff. So you create a Google Doc, you share it with your team. So everybody shares it, and it is a working document. It is a working, everybody can type on it at the same time, differently. I say, hey, I want to settle the Smith case. Casey, did you get the medical? Gary, I didn't get the medical. So there is, now we have other case management systems.
Everybody sees you ask at Casey that. Other people can weigh in on it. That's
right, exactly. And it keeps you in front of stuff. So it reminds you of stuff because we forget stuff and we forget, did you do that? Do you see that in emails? Yes, but I get confused on email trails. I also have a very great case management system that all my cases are electronic, but I have so many tasks and so many stuff in there. I use FileBind.
Okay.
What do you use?
Time Matters.
I used to use that. It's a good program. So I like FileBind. I programmed it for my own use. Some people, and I'll tell you, I've had teams that don't want to do it. And then I have file reviews and they're not communicating. And I say, remember 3 months ago when I told you to do this? So like number one category on my sheet with my paralegal and I is hot things that Gary needs to do. Cause I forget.
Right. And that's the problem. If people don't have a good diary system, Boy, oh boy, it can make your life miserable.
I tell you. All right. All right.
Give me a tell you, topic. I'm liking your
No, topic. here's something else. So let's talk about screen sharing in Zoom.
Yeah.
So it's something that I've made myself learn and I use it really effectively. I think I do at least. So let me tell you the two ways I do. Well, let me ask you first, Deb, do you do that?
Yeah, of course, but most people don't know how.
Right.
The way I do it, Gary, is when Zoom started, when all this mess started in March, I was teaching a class at St. Louis University. And how in the world do you teach without, you know, what happens when you're sent home? How do you finish your class? And so I had to learn Zoom. And so screen sharing, I had to learn because I had to share things with them. And so that's been easy for me, but most people don't do it often, so they don't know how to do it. It's not very hard.
Right. So, and let me just start with mediation. So, you know what I do? So what I do in mediations is I have a Word document that is for the mediation that I type everything I need in the mediation. I keep my notes. So I keep the demands and the offers. I type them in. I type in, here's the defendant's points. Here's my response. I type in and I use it. And then I share it with my client and the mediator, so that everybody sees my notes. And it really helps with the client, because if you and I are just talking, I don't remember what the move was three moves ago. I don't remember this stuff. So I show my client the moves of the defendant. I show them, if there's a settlement at this level, here's my fee, here's the expenses, here's what's in your pocket. Because that's all the client, many times, that's the salient point to the client. I'll sit there and with the mediator, and I have this happen all the time. They say, can you email that to me? Because I want to take this to the other side. You don't want to know what notes the mediator's taking. So I'll sit there and I'll cut and paste good parts from a depo onto this document. And I say, see where the witness said this. You remember our podcast from last week where we were talking about how people don't even listen to evidence. Like, no, let me show you where they said this in the depo.
Right.
You're not in a room. You're not in a room next door. You can't hand a depo transcript to anyone. I did a mediation a couple of weeks ago where I took the expert's report, the defendant's expert's report. I cut it, pasted it into my document. I highlighted all the good shit for me. And then I sat there and I showed it to him. And the meeting was like, that's great. Can you email me that? Yep. And they emailed it, showed it to the other side. And they're like, oh yeah, let's pay him more money. So what I do is I use a working document in Word that is just for the mediation that I do. Everything I want to communicate to everybody, because remember, right, when we try cases, we say people get 90% of what they learn visually, not from audibly, right?
Right.
So in Zoom, everything's oral. You're not showing people stuff. So you got to show people stuff so they see it, comprehend it. And I found that is really, really helpful.
So I have two comments on that. One is the thing that you do where you cite certain portions of documents, but you refer them to the deposition, here's the page and line. That is particularly helpful because let's say you're going into a mediation in person and somebody plays even a video or cuts and pastes a portion up that they get to see. It's really odd how often the defense does not believe what is put up in a plaintiff's mediation video for the showtime. But if you send them something where you say, look this up in your document on this page and this time he says this, and they take that extra intellectual step of finding it themselves, it makes all the difference in the world. So that's
really interesting.
I know, it's really weird. It's like, he didn't tell me that. I found that. He told me where to look, but I'm the one who found it. So now I buy it hook, line, and sinker. It's really intellectual or psychologically interesting to watch that happens. Happens all the time.
That, you know what? I never connected that. But you know what I do?
It's so smart
what
way I always to do it.
I always think when you talk to a jury, you got to bring them up to the conclusion, but then let them reach the conclusion.
Absolutely.
Because if you tell them the conclusion, they don't want to believe it. But if you take them up to it and you let them make that leap, which is the same thing as what you're saying, Rather than just saying on deposition, page 42, say, hey, listen, why don't you look at your deposition? I think it's around 42. Tell me what he said about whether or not he smelled alcohol in his breath or something.
Right. And so, and you know, you can do that one of two ways. You can either go A plus B equals blank and they fill it in, or you can say A plus question mark equals C. Well, look at that. What do you think B is? And then they are the ones saying that. You're not filling it all in. The second thing I had to tell you is to share docs. When you're doing share docs and you're either doing an argument or you've got documents you know you're going to need during the mediation and or the depo, and you don't want to hunt for them. And what I always do is just get those things ready, and I put them behind the Zoom screen on my laptop, just, you know, on the desktop, so that they're right there. And I just have to click on them as opposed to going back to Time Matters and then finding the file and then open up the document and then finally pulling the document up. It's a lot faster if you have that preset.
That's a really good tip. So can I highlight that for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
That's really important. So to avoid fumbling and to have it ready to go. It's funny because, you know, you must be brilliant because you're reaching the same conclusions I am. The same thing. I pull up all the PDFs into my if I'm using PDFs, I get my Acrobat up. I pull it all. I have them saved as Exhibit 1. I don't have them saved as bait stamp, blah, blah, so I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes I even pre-highlight them. And so I have them there, so I'm not finding them. I have them there ready to go.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
That hunting for documents does nothing but embarrass the person who's having to do that. And it makes them uncomfortable.
And then what if you find the wrong one and you publish the one and you're like, oh, whoops, I didn't want you to see that.
That's a good point.
Let me tell you something else that I've, for some reason, I like the Adobe Reader versus the better version, Adobe Acrobat. I'm sitting here in these Zooms and I use the fancy one that I paid money for, and it's making me re-log in and someone else is on. And I'm like, oh, I just want to use the simple one. Anyway, I found the red version of Adobe better than the black version, which is interesting.
I have a red version, so
I have both, because the black version gets you to convert to Word and gets you to do some. So I have both, but, and let me, here's the other, it's something I was going to say from the beginning, but it's really focused. It's part of what you said. You know, the other thing, here's my other trick that I do, is so when I use a document with a deponent, I share the screen with them. I think sometimes it can be more effective even than being live, because I'll show them where I want to go in the document. I'll highlight it on the screen with them. It's harder for someone to disagree with something in writing or something if it's on a screen in front of them, blown up, highlighted. They can't look to the, they can't look seven pages back in the document. They can't say, you know, so anyway,
Exactly. Yeah, so, I know what you're saying.
So, I don't try to do it unfairly, probably too much, but no, I don't try to do it unfairly, but show them what you need to know. I have a case where, you know, they're saying nothing's a policy and they won't admit to shit. Sorry to cuss, but they won't admit to anything. And I'm sitting there going, here's the policy. Here's where it says, this is a nationwide policy. Do you see that? No. I was like, tell you what, can you read this highlighted portion for me? Do you have any reason to disagreement? Isn't this in your orientation manual? Isn't this in your this policy? Blah, blah, blah. So if you surrender to the way we're doing business now and you double down on it and you learn it, you can really use it to your advantage.
What's your next hint?
Well, that's your turn. I've already given like five.
I gave the one about having the documents on my screen. Oh, the other thing I will tell you this is less mediation, obviously, more depo. If I can have the court reporter in the room with me, I like that better still. So I'm not a complete adopter yet. And the reason for that is because then I know what she hears and I know how to make a better record. Because I don't know if somebody froze up on her screen and I'm hearing everything they're saying and she doesn't. So that, I say she, he, whatever it is, but I still would prefer to have the court reporter in wherever I am so I know what she's heard.
I haven't done that. Zero. You know what I've seen someone do that I don't like is we're all on Zoom, but that lawyer is in the same room with their witness, 2-3 feet apart, and they all have masks on. And you can't understand them or hearing. And I think that loses the whole point of a Zoom to do that. So I don't think that's a good technique.
Yeah. You know what, Gary? I was forced to take a doctor's depo for trial. It was my doctor evidentiary depo. It was we were thinking we were still going to go. And it was during Zoom, during COVID, at a really bad time. And he would not take his mask off on the video. I don't know how it would go, but he did.
I deposed a defendant in a Med Mal case, and she had her mask on the whole time. It's really hard for me to read her. It's really hard. I don't know how we're going to try cases with witnesses with masks on, because they're not, you can't see so much of what a witness says, and jurors, reading jurors and how they react, is seeing people's faces, and you just can't see how people react just through the eyes.
I've heard people talk about cases they've actually tried, and they're using those clear things that go around your head so you can't actually see people's expressions, for the attorneys and for the witnesses, and just making them stay away far enough away from the jurors, and then the jurors wear masks.
Right. And I guess my other tip, just like with witnesses, don't have the first time you're doing this stuff be in an important depo. Play around with it. Use it. Get used to it. Have some comfort level with sharing screen doing this other stuff. Have it all ready. You got to run the traps, just like at any trial or anything else, before you get going. So then the other thing I do, Debbie, is, I guess my other tip is, recording. So I use Zoom to do depos. I video record depositions. I use it with the Zoom. It's like, I don't use videographers anymore, because I just recorded on Zoom. And I know if you're nodding, you're doing the same thing, but we recorded on Zoom. I recorded to the cloud for nuts and bolts stuff. I paid for the $150 for the Zoom Pro account, so that I can record stuff. I record it to the cloud. Zoom sends me a link. Then that video is recorded. And then if I try the case later, I can sync my transcript with my video later to play it to the jury.
Let me ask you something. How do you, excuse me, like right now we're on Zoom and you're recording. And when we play that back, it would show exactly what you and I see. So it would show Gary and Debbie. How do you record a depo, excuse me, where you just get the witness, or do
so,
you?
Debbie, on your screen, go to your picture and go up to the right where the three dots are.
Yeah.
Click that. And do you see where it says pin video?
Yeah.
Click pin video.
So that's what you do.
So then what I do is I click pin video, so of the deponent, so only the deponent is videoed when they're testifying.
Okay.
So that is, and then there's a thing where you can say unpin video. I figured that I didn't do it really that great at the beginning, but I figured out after doing a couple of doctor's depots that I decided, I was like, you know what? I need to, it's jumping between me and him. And when I play the video, I don't want the jury to see me.
Yeah.
I want them to see this deponent the whole time. So I pin the video to the deponent, and that has them on the screen the whole time. Are you still pinned now?
No, I'm not. Okay.
All right. All right.
But I tell you, I have wondered about that, because the court reporters that I've been with are doing that, and then their video and just the witness. I wasn't sure how they were doing that, because I think there's law out there that says you don't get to play the videos if they include other parties. And so I think the way you're doing it is brilliant, because you are presenting this person to the thing. You've got an attorney in there who's sitting like this, you know, they don't want their stuff pinned, or they don't want their stuff not pinned, shown to the jury. So the way you're doing it makes tons of sense.
Right. So let's that, but that begs another question is, I use my own Zoom. I use my own Zoom. You use the court reporter Zoom?
I used to. until I realized I was getting robbed for the cost of Zoom.
Tell me about that.
Oh my gosh.
What's going on those bills?
So I assumed, because I mean, I had been, like I said, I've been doing Zoom since in my class when this stuff first started. So when we all started doing mediations, or rather depositions, then you would get emails from various reporting agencies indicating they would set up the Zoom for you, record it, et cetera. And then it turns out you're getting a $400 to $600 charge, and it's a per hour connection charge for Zoom. So now I will take no depositions if I'm getting charged for Zoom. I'll set them up myself. I have a SLU account. It's an unlimited account. I have it as long as I want to with as many people as you want to. So, and guess what? I'll do that for free. And then if they insist on having host capabilities, then all you got to do is put them as host when you get on there. So yep. I pay for Zoom for the firm for an account, but I don't pay in a depo some cost for a service that is free to me
anymore. Yeah, I've seen all these court reporting companies now have their own Zoom account. So you can't just go to Zoom. You have to go to Veritex at Zoom or all these other Alaris or whatever. And I was like, what? So I use mine myself and I bring in the court reporter. And that way I know that it's being recorded to my cloud. I got the video. As you know, I do a lot of video. I record a lot of depos by video. Frankly, it's easier now that I'm doing by Zoom.
I bet it is too.
And then I'm also sharing the screens and I have it on my own. I don't know. It just seems easier to me.
Yeah.
I would do it myself. So let me ask you this. So we're kind of closing in on time. I think that this is the new way to do business, Debbie. Even a year from now when we're all, well, first of all, now I was going to say when we're all vaccinated, half the country ain't going to get a vaccine. So you never know. You never know who's going to be. I'm a year from now when we're out of the pandemic, if we are, I'm very happy still doing this stuff by Zoom.
I prefer the in-person stuff.
Why? Are you still old school that way?
Well, I just, I think my wiles work better in person, but sometimes it's a fantastic way to do it. I think doctors are probably going to insist on Zoom. It's faster. It's easier for them. They can take breaks when they want to and just make us all do whatever we need to do. But also we had this case when all this started where there's different plaintiffs in the same case in three different states. And then the defendant is in yet fourth state, not right. Missouri. And the case is here. We could not get those depositions set. And wow, all of a sudden Zoom was discovered. And that's an easy way to do it. So it's perfect for those sorts of things. But I suspect you're correct that in many, many cases, Zoom will continue. There are going to be times where you guys want to take in-person depositions because you want that in-person immediate read from how the reactions are that you don't necessarily get over Zoom. And I need that in-person prep time. And you probably do too. You're probably still doing that, I guess.
I haven't done an in-person prep ever since March.
Is that right?
I haven't done anything. I'll do it by Zoom. You know what? I'm going to prep by Zoom. I do everything by Zoom.
Good. So you may do this for a long time.
I hope so. Cause I can sit at my house in my sweats and here's another, just one last tip. And then the other thing you're talking about doctor's depots, you know, I've taken a bunch of doctor's depots. You know, the doctors are sitting there fumbling through records, trying to find the right page. So I've had a lot of times where I've said, doctor, do you mind if I show you? Yeah, sure. Thank you. And then I share a screen and I just take a stick. Here's where it is in this record where they gave this history. Here's where you did this exam. And I jump between records, between dates and stuff, kind of to make my points and stuff. I've tried to develop a facility with that, and it really is helpful. The doctors love it. And they see it. You're not just telling something, you're seeing you're showing them their notes from time to time, and they just go with you. And they should.
Right.
It can be,
Right. The other person can object if you're doing something wrong.
Right.
Hey, and the corollary to that, we haven't talked about court appearances, and maybe we'll do that later, but what about people in your office? What's going to happen in your office? Are they going to continue to be able to work remotely, or are you looking forward to the date you're all back in the office?
Well, so we're in the office 2 to 3 days a week and home 2 to 3 days a week. I got a little bit more space so that people could separate out. I was renting a little bit more space in my building because I was expanding, and then pandemic is, you know, but I was kind of glad I did because now, and I was like, and it's not that I am expanding, but you know, things, it is what it is. So, but anyway, I'm glad I have more space so that people can space out. So we have people spread out in the office. In terms of going back to court, I don't need to do another status conference in my life. And a lot of our, I'm happy to do Zoom. I've had a lot of these Zoom hearings, but you know, on contested stuff, there's just nothing like all being in the courtroom at the same time. Cause yeah, you know, the witness is saying this, but they're looking over at the husband. You just read stuff at a courtroom or reading a jury or reading that judge, rolling his eyes and stuff. You're just not going to see some of that.
Right. That's right.
What about you and your other people?
I don't know. That is something I am old school about.
What?
I think I should be with them and they should be in the office, because I think it's hard for newer attorneys to pick up on all the things they need to pick up on when they are not with you. And so I don't know, maybe I'm just a control freak.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I found that. So then we're all going back in the office. But then the lawyers hold up in their office. I don't see them anyway. Because, you know, initially I was being more easy about sticking my head in and talking to people. But then you start having, oh, so-and-so had Corona. Which I didn't know that. Oh, my God. So then you're like, wait a minute. You know what? I cannot walk around without a mask. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's more easy, but then I'm like, well, if I'm making everybody go in the office, but everybody's kind of sitting by themselves, why shouldn't they be at home? And I'm like, I don't know, but we gotta do something.
It's tough. It's a tough decision.
Well, I've enjoyed yet another podcast with you, Debbie. I'm gonna close it down now if we could. So thanks a lot for listening to Lawyer versus Lawyer. You know, Debbie and I know, always answer questions for free from other lawyers. We have lawyers bouncing stuff off of us all the time. You can reach Debbie at the Renierson, Seuss, and Schnurbusch and Champion firm. You can reach me, Gary Berger, at Berger Law. Email us, call us, and listen to our podcast.
You guys be safe out there. Gary, take care of you.
Thank you.